Since we've been talking a lot about bonobos, let's pause for a second and hear from them. Those are the bonobos Lawrence Gonzalez talked about visiting at the Milwaukee Zoo. I'm not sure what they're saying, but it's just possible that Sarah Gruen might know. You might remember Sarah as the author of the best-selling Water for Elephants, her novel about a group of circus elephants kept in captivity. A similar theme runs through her newest novel, Ape House. It's the story of a family of bonobo apes who are kidnapped from their research facility by a TV producer who uses them as the main attraction in a reality TV show. To write the story, Sarah Gruen studied linguistics and learned a system of lexigrams so she could communicate directly with a similar group of bonobos, the apes who are housed at the Great Ape Trust in Des Moines, Iowa. She told Anne Strandchamps the experience changed her life.
I never thought I'd use the words linguistics and fun in the same sentence, but it really was. It was really interesting. And so after I'd done my homework, I got the coveted invitation to the trust. And I knew ahead of time that that didn't necessarily mean I was going to get to meet the apes because it's their house and they get to say who comes in. So I stacked my odds and I brought backpacks for each ape filled with their favorite foods and toys and anything that I thought an ape might find amusing. So I brought Mr. Potato Heads, Slinkies, Rubik's Cubes. Most importantly, in terms of gaining favor, was I think the M&Ms. And so I emailed the scientists the day ahead of time and asked if they would please let the apes know that I was bringing surprises. And so when they went back and asked the apes if I could come in, they came back and said that not only were the apes allowing me to come in, they were insisting.
So already there's a pretty high level of communication. The researchers are able to go and say to them, somebody's coming tomorrow who's bringing you a present. And not only that, the next day they remember.
Oh, they remember things 3 years later. I was actually astonished. After I left the first time, I sent a Fruit of the Month Club because I really didn't want them to forget me. I wanted to have the invitation remain open. But this last visit, which was, I think, 2 weeks ago today, the last thing Pam Benicia said to me as I left was, next time you visit, can you please bring me a new Mr. Potato Head? And the last time I did that was 3 years ago, and I hadn't mentioned it since. So, you know, she has a very good long-term memory. I was really astonished.
Although John already knew that the bonobos' preferences varied. For example, he knew Bobongo's favorite food was green onions and that Sam loved pears. He was surprised by how distinct, how differentiated, how almost human they were. Bonzi, the matriarch and undisputed leader, was calm, assured, and thoughtful, if unnervingly fond of M&Ms. Sam, the oldest male, was outgoing and charismatic. The infant, Lola, was indescribably cute and also a stitch. John witnessed her yank a blanket out from under Sam's head while he was resting and then come barreling over to Bonzi for protection, signing, "Bad surprise, bad surprise." Mbongo, the other adult male, was smaller than Sam and of a more sensitive nature. He opted out of further conversations with John after John unwittingly misinterpreted a game called Monster Chase. Mbongo put on a gorilla mask, which was John's cue, to act terrified and let Mbongo chase him. Unfortunately, no one had told John, who didn't even realize that Mbongo was wearing a mask until the ape gave up and pulled it off, at which point John laughed. This was so devastating that Mbongo turned his back and flatly refused to acknowledge John from that point forward, which left John feeling as if he had slapped a baby.
Okay, we have to back up because this is mind-boggling for most of us. Like most of us, I had heard of Kanzi, but I had no idea that bonobos could communicate this extensively.
I was really surprised at the level of communication they were capable of. And I knew and believed that they could communicate, but I don't think any amount of reading or research or even looking at film footage can prepare you for the experience of meeting an ape who can segue from asking you what you had for breakfast to requesting the return of the Easter Bunny.
So, for example, you referred to this one ape, Pam Benicia, and in fact, you dedicated the book to her, so I assume you have a pretty close relationship with her. What kinds of things can you talk about with her?
We just go in and talk. The first time she spoke to me was when I showed her a picture of my children when they were very much younger and in a bubble bath. And Of course, being a mother gives you instant status in bonobo culture because they're matriarchal. So at that moment, she decided I was okay, and she went and punched into the computer, babies washing bubbles.
And then you said something about the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, well, we went out. Pam Benicia invited me to have a tea party in the forest on one of my visits, and we were sitting on blankets and drinking tea, and we'd eaten our cookies. I'd actually had three, and then she asked if she could have the rest of mine, and so I gave them to her. And then she asked, and at this point, we had a lexicon board out there that was laminated. So she was pointing to symbols, and the scientists were interpreting for me because I'm lucky if I can find 4 out of 5 lexicons in the sentences I'm creating to point to on the lexicon board. But she asked if I'd had a boiled egg today. I said no. She said that the bunny had hid eggs in the forest recently. And then after a minute, she added, I wish the bunny would come back. And this is the trust, after all. So in the background, a guy got on a walkie-talkie, and 5 minutes later, the Easter bunny traipsed out of the trust and hid some more eggs in the forest.
I have to ask, in the book, the apes are always asking the humans to bring them coffee. And not just any coffee, they want caramel macchiatos. Really?
They love it, yeah. I bring them Starbucks, but I'm only allowed to bring them decaf and skim milk lattes.
Bonzi grinned gleefully and spun on her behind, propelling herself with her feet. She touched her fingers to her lips, signing, want coffee. Sure, I can make coffee. Want candy coffee. Isabel, go, hurry, gimme. Isabel laughed and assumed a posture of mock offense. You don't like my coffee? You want a caramel macchiato? Bonzi yipped excitedly. Good drink, go, hurry, said her hands. Okay. You want marshmallow on that? Said Isabel, using Bonzi's term for the sweet froth on top. Smile, smile, hug, hug.
Wow. How do people respond when you meet people and you start telling them about your visits with these apes and the kinds of relationships, the kinds of things you talk about?
Well, I've tended to start at the beginning and move forward, because if you just sort of say, oh yeah, I was out in the, you know, I had a tea party and blah, 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 people just kind of look at me like I'm crazy. But so I do think there's a bit of lead up necessary. And sometimes people walk into my talks halfway through, and at the end they come up and they're like, come again.
But I guess I'm thinking, it's so astonishing to hear. And what's slightly more astonishing is that you're very matter of fact about it. So clearly for you, something's happened where you've had this experience visiting the apes, and it's now no longer even remarkable. It's just, oh yeah, this is what I do. I go and I have tea parties with the apes, and we talk about our clothes and our kids.
It's very remarkable to me. It's still extremely remarkable to me. I never, ever thought that I would have great apes as friends. And believe me, I'm loving every second of it.
Are there particular moments in the book that you love best?
Yeah, when the bonobo tries to save the bird, which is based on an actual occurrence of a bonobo trying to save a bird.
McKenna lay on her back in the sun, her face turned to the side. She had been washing a doll in a bucket until she grew tired, and both the bucket and the doll remained beside her. A tiny brown bird swooped down over her, low enough that it startled her, and she tipped her head to follow its progress. It came to a smashing halt against the plexiglass door of the courtyard, leaving a tiny smudge of down at the point of impact. The bird sat in a crumpled heap, unmoving. McKenna approached slowly and crouched in front of it, arms resting on thighs. After several minutes, when the bird had still not moved, she reached out and nudged it. It made a ruffling motion, squeaked, and toppled sideways. McKenna scooped it up in both hands and walked upright to the play structure. She cupped the bird to her chest with one hand as she climbed to the highest point. There she held the bird, gently spread its wings to their fullest span, and tossed it into the air. It disappeared over the wall.
That's a really heartbreaking moment in the book, because the bonobo in question is in captivity at the time.
Yeah, and on display to the world, although I don't think they're aware of it at that moment.
You know, over and over again in the book, the apes wind up being generally kinder and nicer and more humane than most of the people. Does that depress you?
It fascinates me, because we're equally related to chimpanzees, who are not like bonobos. And for years, we've tried to blame away warfare and murder and infanticide and all this kind of the evils in our society by saying that, well, they're hardwired into us because they're hardwired into chimps. We share the same amount of DNA with chimps as we do with bonobos. And so it gives us a different model for behavior. And I frankly like that model better. But in the book, there's a sign that John and Amanda pass on the way to her cousin's wedding. And it says, guns and waffles. And I really think that just sums it all up. Is it the chimp or the bonobo that's going to pop up to the surface? And can we control it? And, you know, we're not chimps and we're not bonobos. And we're not simply a combination of the two. We're a completely third other thing. But I think it's very interesting to look at these three equidistant species and look at the different cultures and societal things that are going on and what we have in common and what we don't have in common.
Here we go, here we go. That's right.
We are family.
We are
brothers and my sisters and me.
My brothers, my sisters.
We are family.
We are family.
Get up, everybody, sing.
Sarah Gruen is the author of the best-selling novel Water for Elephants. She spoke with Anne Strainchamps about her new novel, Ape House,